Welcome everybody to this info and training session on research integrity. What we are going to tell you today is about the code of conduct related to research integrity, and then these procedures for handling situations where something appears to have gone wrong. For an introduction, as you can see, there are two of us, and we act as research integrity advisors here at the university. So Mikko Simula comes from the Faculty of Sport and Health Sciences, and I come from the Faculty of Science. And our mission is to give advice whenever needed, also give support if something goes wrong, and also help with possible research integrity processes. And if you have any questions related to these issues, then there's a single email address where you can ask us anything. So this research integrity at jyu.fi. The basis of everything we do is a booklet that is published by TENK, and this TENK means Finnish National Board on Research Integrity. So meaning that there are national level instructions on these things. This board was founded in early 90s, and the first set of instructions was published a couple of years later. And then there's one note we want to make here. There is a different email address, ethicscommittee@jyu.fi, and if you have something related to this review of research plan, then this is the address to use. But let us start from what actually changed since the last set of instructions. The first thing is that this time related to this official process, once it has started, this time has been shortened. Usually these processes have actually taken a quite a long time, so this is a good change. Then, in these new instructions, actually, this role of the research integrity advisors has been defined. Then, if we think about different kinds of violations of research integrity, then there is an international practice of classification of those. And now in these new instructions, that classification is followed. Then a new thing is the assessment of the severity of an offense. Mikko will tell you later about this assessment. So this is something we didn't have before. Then there are tricky cases where one has actually to give some protection to those involved in the investigations. There might be, if the situation gets heated, there may be some harassment and things like that. But then principles for that have been added following the European model. Then there's a requirement for researchers to declare all kinds of conflicts of interest there might be when dealing such cases. One of the biggest changes actually at the practical level is that now master's theses are handled according to internal processes of the universities. So that the institutions can actually have their own instructions on that. And then there is one change in use of different terms, so that this term research integrity is preferred over this responsible conduct of research. Okay. So, in fact, all Finnish universities and research institutions are expected to commit to these guidelines published by TENK. And what that means is that it can be said that it is ethical self-regulation of the research community. And as said here, whoever does some research, development, or innovation is subject to that regulation. Universities for Applied Sciences, research organizations, think tanks, businesses, libraries, archives, museums, science centers, and others. All the organizations that promote science or support science and research, they can also be involved. Those include learned societies, funding organizations, and publishers. And the University of Jyväskylä has now committed to these new guidelines that were published earlier this year. Okay, when is this research integrity process applied? So when I say research integrity process, I actually mean this kind of an official process. Certainly academic research projects, that's evident. Also other research projects and even the research and development and innovation projects. They can be international. There can be research collaborations, and then also commission research is under these guidelines. Then there's artistic research, and then artistic productions whenever they are somehow related to research. Publications, that's very obvious. And it means that whatever you publish, wherever you do it, then those publications will be under these regulations. And the doctoral thesis, they come under these instructions after they have been submitted for preliminary examination. Then there's societal engagement and research communication. That can happen in many different channels. Then these principles apply. And then when you are working as an expert, like you are acting as a referee or giving some statements or evaluations, then these guidelines apply. And then when you are writing some applications. Those can be job and funding applications, or you apply for a research permit, then these instructions should be followed. And one part of that is writing your CV. Okay, these principles now in this new instruction manual, they can be categorized in four different categories. And this is actually something that is new now in this new set of instructions. We are now actually following the common European classification in this. Of course, these are mostly kind of self-evident, but it is a good thing to go through these. So the first one is reliability, the second one is honesty, then respect, and then accountability. And reliability means that basically the quality of the work we do. If we do some research, then design, methods, analysis, and resources. We have to be honest in everything, whatever we do, when we develop, undertake, report, communicate our research, and that has to be done in a fair, comprehensive, and unbiased way. The third point was respect, so that it means that we have respect for colleagues, research participant, society, ecosystems, cultural heritage, and the environment. And then accountability. We have to remember that after the actual research has done, then many things will follow over the years, so that and we should think about those. And these are related to publication, management, organization, training, supervision, mentoring, and thinking about the wider impact of our research. And now I think that Mikko will continue.
Thank you, Juha. Yes, I will now summarize the bits of from the guidelines describing in more detail how these guidelines should be followed and what's the actual purpose of these guidelines. So, like you have already told you, the idea is that these guidelines should be followed and applied in all the activities of the scientific community which have signed and committed to these research integrity guidelines. And the goal is nothing less than to construct a culture or strengthen a culture of responsible scientific work. And how these guidelines are aiming at towards this objective is that it requires all the members of the community to get familiarized to these guidelines, and then to follow these in all the activities they do related to scientific work. And we can go to the next slide. This table gives you the or summarizes the parts of from the guidelines describing in detail that how this what is required in order to follow the rules in all the activities of the scientific work, and it's divided in 8 categories. And in this table are only the main points. So in the guidelines, there are more specifically described all the areas and activities relevant to these research integrity guidelines. So the first part is that the whole research environment, meaning University of Jyväskylä, should make sure that the staff and also the students and other reference groups are aware of the research integrity guidelines, and they have easy access to these guidelines. Then the second thing which is required is that the organization, that means the University of Jyväskylä, needs to construct a process or define a process where these RI violations are handled whenever necessary, and have to make sure that the persons responsible of carrying out this process are appointed and know what they are doing, and also educated to their duties. Then the second category or area of scientific activities where these guidelines should be followed or applied is that the organization, so University of Jyväskylä, is required to organize education in basic and postgraduate students. So not only the staff of the Jyväskylä University needs to be trained, but also the students in all the levels. And as I mentioned, we need to appoint the RI support persons who give advice whenever needed, and not only to those who are suspecting an RI violation, but also to those who are educating students and are involved in applying RI guidelines. Then, of course, the actual research procedures are under these guidelines, and that means that all the phases within in the research projects, so planning and resourcing and implementation of a research project, should comply with these RI guidelines. Then the fourth area is covering the safeguards and agreements needed while carrying out a research project. So one should obtain all the permits required and the content for participating in lectures in research projects. And all these, also, if ethical review is required, that should be acquired before the actual start of the research project and the data collection, especially. And then the fifth area is data practices and management. So when in research project are, if there are several parties involved, and there should be an agreement before the actual research project starts. So agreement done, who is actually owning the data, and who has the rights to use it in research purposes. And of course, while when talking about data handling of the data, we need to comply with the data protection applications and rules. And here we are, of course, talking about the GDPR legislation, which is in force in the EU. Then the sixth area or category is collaborative working. So as I mentioned already, all the agreements handling of regarding objectives and rights and obligations of the parties involved in the collaboration. All these should be agreed before the cooperation starts. Then seventh category is the one which is most often or leads to our consultation is the questions regarding authorship and its recognition and publications and dissemination of research results. So especially it's important that when this research project, and especially when the writing of a research article and other publication starts, the authorship's rights and recognition should be discussed in detail to clarify to all the participants that what kind of role they will have in the writing process and how that should be documented in the article or the other research application. And for that purpose, there's guidelines, special guidelines offered by TENK, and you can find that from TENK's web pages. And there's a table which kind of like summarizes all the questions which need to be addressed while agreeing on authorship. Then while writing research publication, all the RI guidelines should be followed. That is self-evident. Then talking about the reviewing and the evaluating. So not only the research project and doing research is required, all these rules are need to followed in doing the research project. It's also while we are reviewing research done by others and while we are evaluating or participating in evaluation processes, which concerns recruiting personnel or whatever evaluation processes we have in the university. So these RI rules or RI guidelines comply in those cases as well. So we need to be responsible in all the duties which we are doing as a scientific person. Yes, then we can go to the next slide. Then next, I'm summarizing the definitions of violations against research integrity, and then after that I'm summarizing the process how these alleged violations are handled. But first the definitions of violations against research integrity, and in these new guidelines, as in the earlier ones as well, these are divided in two categories. But what is meant with the violation is that it's something which hurts the reliability of the scientific community or societal reliance and legitimation of activities of scientific community. So violation breaches the principles of research integrity, damages the quality of credibility of research and undermine research collaborations and authorships. So all activities which could be interpreted as all fulfilling these criteria are interpreted as violations against good research integrity. These violations may also be against the law. We have the law in Finland regarding medical research and the definitions of what kind of activities are against or breaking the law. And then we have law, which is concerning defining public activities and publicity activities taking place in publicity, and then the government laws define the good governance. And it's possible that in a research project one could also break these laws, and if that is the case, then these are of course handled in judicial procedures. And as I mentioned, this in these guidelines, the categories or the violations are defined divided into categories. So the first is research misconduct, and the second is disregard for good research practices. And we can go, move on to the next slide. And here are more in-depth definitions that what is RI violations, and kind of like make the difference of levels of violations or severity of violations. So the first category is, or the first level of violation is intentional activity. So this defines all the violations found to be intentional are interpreted as serious. And then the activity might not be intentional, but it's due to seriously negligent of these RI guidelines, or indifference towards them, or carelessness. But the outcome might be a serious violation of the credibility of scientific work. And then these are also defined as serious violations. And the third category, or kind of like a case when these RI guidelines could be violated, is case that it's due to negligence or ignorance or unawareness. So a person might be violating these rules only because he or she hasn't fulfilled her duty to familiarize herself to these guidelines, which should be done in her position. Okay, then we can move on to the next slide. This is a new part of the guidelines. So assessment criteria for the severity of RI violations is included to these guidelines, and we don't have any experience so far how these criteria should be applied while handling these alleged violations. But when the first case is raised, then of course we learn to know and educate ourselves and communicate with the RI advisory persons, advise persons in other universities, that what kind of experiences they have regarding these assessment criteria, and then we can build our understanding of how this should be applied. Yes, we can move on to the next slide. Okay, then we are giving the definitions of the first, or then the two categories of RI violations. And the first one was this intentional violations, and they are defined as research misconduct. Or the concept used is research misconduct, and these could be three could appear in three different forms. The first one is fabrication of research results and content of research publication. So you're just like fabricating the results or the discussions in the research publication. Then it could be falsification, that you manipulate these findings or the findings of other researchers so that it kind of like supports your main idea or your kind of like leading idea or hypothesis, and you make the research design work even it didn't, by falsifying some bits of your research project. Then the third form of appearance is plagiarism. So that is that means that you use someone else's or your own work, and your own earlier work, and you don't refer to that as a like results from another, which is constructed in another context. Okay, then we can move on to the next slide. Then the other category is called disregard for good science research practices, and in the guidelines there are several examples constructing the idea that what kind of activities are interpreted as a disregard for good research practices. And here are only like 4 points kind of like giving you the overall idea that what kind of examples are included. So the first is covering the planning, preparation and implementation of research projects and all the safeguards and permits which need to be acquired before doing the research or collecting the data and so on, and regards also that these permits and guidelines need to be followed when acquired, and if researchers are violating this or are not following the permits acquired, then this is interpreted as disregard for good research practice. Then activities which are hindering the work of making it difficult for other colleagues and research to carry on their duties and carry on the research project are interpreted as disregard for GRP, and then the violation of authorship is also included into this category. Then exaggeration of significance of one's scientific work and one's own merits, and inappropriate use of one's own position as a professor or expert or evaluator could be interpreted as a violation, RI violation as well. And then a thing added to the new guidelines is that if a person, a member of a research group or scientific unity, is raising the question that we should discuss whether the RI violation has taken place, if this person is malicious or is kind of like maltreated, then this is also, according to the new guidelines, interpreted as RI violation. And these persons should be protected, and make sure that that everyone feels safe to inform others when he or she suspects RI violation taking place. Okay, we can move on. Then we are summarizing the process, how it starts and how it's carried out. This is includes a lot of detailed information. So here again are only the main points. And if you need some more advice, then I recommend that you get familiarized or read through the guidelines. And if, after that, if you have any questions, and even though if you didn't have, I recommend that then you contact us, so the RI advisors, and have a discussion with us that how we should proceed in the case at hand. But here, yeah, like the main points, just to give you the idea that the overall structure of the RI process. So it starts with us submitting a notification to the organization committed to the RI violation, RI guidelines. So if it's if this violation has taken place in the University of Jyväskylä, then our rector is the person whose this notification is addressed. Then if it's another university or another research organization, then notification should be sent to the head of that unit organization. There's a specific notification form which you can find from Tank's pages, and it's also linked to the web pages of our university. And when the notification is done, it's done by one's own name. So you can't be engaged in the process anonymously. So you have to sign the notification with your own name. And important to understand that you don't have to do this alone, that if you need any guidance, then you can contact the research integrity advisors. And even if you are suspected as an RI violator, then you can also contact us and ask that what kind of how you should you be participating in the process. But our advices are impartial. So our duty is to make sure that the process is fluently carried out. So we are not taking part and deciding that is this violation justified or not. We are just making sure that you have all the information you need in order to participate in the process and make it as fluid as possible. Then we can move on to the next slide. The actual process has three stages, and from the guidelines you can find the charts describing the procedures of each phase. And I won't go through all these charts, just to describe the main points. So each step may proceed to the actual investigation phase, or then it might stop at the very beginning, where the director of the university decides that we don't, these allegations are not justified, or they are so clear that we don't need any processes, but or we don't need any more clarifications. And after this, all the steps has been like carried out, and if the especially well in every case, persons who is involved in this process may ask a statement from the tank if he or she is dissatisfied in any part of the actual process. So the statement is asked and we'll deal with only about the execution of the process, so not actually the outcome, but only was this decision made in after a valid process. Yeah, then we could go to the next slide, which describes the second step. And as I mentioned, you can find this from the RI guidelines. So there's so much information, so you don't probably remember that. So the most important thing is that you know where to find the descriptions of these processes. And then we can move on to the third step and the third slide or the next slide. And here again, the description, and we can move on to the next slide straight away. And here it's again summarizing the part of the guidelines, which is defining that how this request for a statement to TENK, so Finnish National Board on Research Integrity, should be asked or done, and what is the significance of the statement. So the first point describe that if the person involved in the process is dissatisfied with the director's decision at any steps of this process, he or she may request a statement from TENK. And this, as I mentioned, the statement addresses this or evaluates that how this investigation was implemented, how at the different stages, and how this conclusion is this conclusion valid or logical from the reports provided by the investigators. And if a statement is requested and received from TENK, then the director needs to take into account this statement, even if it differs from the director's own previous decision. And important thing to remember is that this is not a judicial process, so the procedures followed in courts of law are not valid in this RI process. So this is just the role of TENK is to evaluate the validity of the process, not actual start another investigation process. Then we can move on to the next slide. And this summarizes this slide, the sanctions, which might be the follow-up of this process. So these are not like, so the university takes these processes seriously and they might lead to sanctions. And when these sanctions are defined, the director, so our rector, evaluates the severity of the violations and defines the outcomes which he deems as appropriate for that specific violation. It says in says it is said in the rules that this should be also in just proportion to the severity of the violation. So this should this violation or sanction should be such that they kind of like corrects the outcomes of the actual violations, and not only trying to cause any additional problems for those participants or persons involved in the process. And if these violations are such that in all the cases, tanks need to be informed or notified the follow-up or the outcome of the process. But then if any other parties need to be informed, then they should be informed as well. So if it's concerning a publication and which is already published, then the journal should be informed, and the follow-up would be that they add to the publication and to the article, for instance, which is the target of this process and sanction. There's a should be added a notification that this article is a target of a RI process, and the follow-up was certain kind. Okay, then we can move on to the next slide, which is actually now I'm handling the microphone again to Johan. He will go through the or describe the what kind of processes have taken place at that our university, and you can see that that this this process is really important. We actually have these violations in our university as well.
Okay. These slides have actually been made for a different occasion. So there's some introductory matter. If you need to find information and guidelines at the university new web pages, one possible path goes in such a way that from the main page of the university, you find the code of conduct of the university, and then from there, this responsible conduct of research as part of that code of conduct, and then there are other links forward. Okay, so how common these kind of situations are where you actually need this official research integrity process. During the last two decades or so, there have been 26 such cases. And of course, there are many more cases where some advice is needed. So we as the support persons get this kind of inquiries all the time. But now this is just a kind of a list of what kind of things have proceeded to this official process. First we consider research articles, and then the second list here, it describes what is the type of alleged violation. So that the first one, as you can see, is presenting results as one's own. Then there have been three cases related to questions of authorship. then three cases related to plagiarism. And then here you can see what has been the final conclusion of this official process. So that in red it has been noted the cases where it has been decided that something has gone wrong. So in the first two cases there has been a disregard for research integrity, as well as in the last case. And then there are the others are, it has turned out that those allegations have been unjustified, or for some other reason there's no preliminary inquiry that has been done, for the reason that that thing has actually happened outside the University of Jyväskylä. And then here you can see what kind of measures have been taken. And in this last case, it has led to pausing the publishing process and also correcting the CV. The next one, these cases are related to doctoral thesis and different kinds of suspicions or allegations. So this first one, it has been this kind of a case where there has been a general disregard for good research practices in doing the research and reporting it. And the conclusion has been that there actually has been something. The second one is a special type of plagiarism in research design and result, where that turned out to be an unjustified suspicion. Then again, plagiarism in its different forms, and it has in all these cases it turned out that there has been a research misconduct, and here you can see what kind of measures have been taken. So the grade of a dissertation has been taken down. Then another thing that happens whenever it has been concluded that in a PhD thesis there has been a research integrity violation, is that a statement will be enclosed to the thesis. And in this last case, some corrections have been needed in the manuscript. Then about master's thesis, as you can see, this plagiarism is strongly present here, and in all three cases it has been concluded that something has gone wrong, and the measures are similar to those in the cases of PhD thesis. So that there can be a statement enclosed to the thesis in the web server where this thesis can be found, or corrections to the manuscripts. And then there have been two cases that where the suspicion has been unjustified. So some general violation of the guidelines and then manipulation of authorship as suspicions. Then there are two cases related to recruitment. One that may well happen quite often is the inflation of one's merits. Well, in that case, it turns out that this suspicion was unjustified. Then there's this question of evaluation later, and one unjustified case. Then another thing is utilization of data. So that whenever data is collected, then there are people who actually are allowed to use that data, and there may be some other people who are not allowed to use that data. And the first case, it was found that this was an intellectual property case, and the second one, it turned out to be a real research misconduct. And then, as a result, a decision related to this research misconduct was published in the journal where the article was published. Then there is one CV case, so that somebody had documented a project as one's own. That was a suspicion, but the conclusion was that its suspicion was unjustified. Then the next two cases are on expert statement and presentation. And in those cases, it turned out that the suspicion of disregard was unjustified. Then the next case is related to the development of a test method. And the question was about the reliability. And it turns out that there had been research misconduct, and it resulted in notification to the parties relevant. And then something that can happen is that somebody is stealing somebody else's research idea. There was once such suspicion, but it turned out to be unjustified. Okay, these were the cases that we know of. So, as some kind of a conclusion, greetings from us. First is that one should not be afraid of this research integrity process. It is there for a good purpose. It is a way to deal with ambiguities that are related to RCR. Then one thing is that it would be a good idea that all the faculties should arrange some kind of training for people involved in research at all levels. At least at some faculties, the things are now in a pretty good shape. And then, as a reminder, our email address. So, thank you.